This is part four, and I think this will be the final part. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. We get into here, 1 Corinthians 14:21. It's some interesting limits and reasons for tongues. So, 1 Corinthians 14:21. In the law, it is written. You don't hear him saying that much in regard to... In the context of the later epistles that he wrote after the end of Acts, the prison epistles. But he says here to these Corinthians in Acts 19, he wrote it, and he said, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. God's use of Gentile tongues was to speak unto this people, Israel. God used prophesying because, according to 1 Corinthians 14:3, body of Christ prophesying produces edification. Body of Christ prophesying. Well, that included the acknowledging that what Paul spoke was scripture. It was to be written. What he wrote was God's word. It was inspired word of God. Body of Christ prophesying. If you look in the next verse, let's go to verse 22. Tongues are for a sign. That's one point. There are 3 points to notice here. Tongues are for a sign. Secondly, Jews require a sign. And thirdly, tongues are for them that believe not. So we're going to look at two verses, verse 22 and verse 22. Actually, it's 1 Corinthians 14:22 and 1 Corinthians 1:22. In 1 Corinthians 1:22, it says, for the Jews require a sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. Well, that's pretty clear. There's not much wiggle room. The Jews do require a sign. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign. Not to them that believe, but unto them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not. An unsaved person doesn't get it. But for them which believe, prophesying serveth for them which believe. Also, we see that when tongues were being given, tongues are for a sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Tongues, therefore, were not for use in churches. They were for unbelieving Jews to hear. They were rather outside of churches, where the disbelieving Jews were. Well then, at that time, what gift was to be used in the churches? Well, he says in 1 Corinthians 14:22, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Body of Christ prophecy, acknowledging that what Paul wrote was the Word of God, it went beyond that. Because when the Word of God stopped being given, when all the Word had been completed, put it that way, there was still prophecy in the sense of professing it, speaking it out. Body of Christ prophecy was to be used in the churches where the believers were. And Paul went on to tell of a situation that gives insight into the activities in Paul's meetings. Paul's illustration, the way he describes it, it shows that back then the desired results would come from Body of Christ prophecy, not from Body of Christ tongues. 1 Corinthians, and we're going to read chapter 14, four verses here. 23, 24, 25, and 26. starting in 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? Verse 24, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not or is unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all, and thus the secrets of his heart are made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth. The proper use of true gifts yields the desired results, as at Peter's Acts 2 Pentecost feast. Remember how many, you know, there were thousands that responded. Of course, that was, you know, a very small percentage of the people that heard about it, maybe not audibly, but within a day or two, as word traveled through the city. 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. That is all-encompassing. I mean, it's thorough. Let all things be done unto edifying. Here we see that Paul indicates that God had not yet completely shut down tongues. It's listed in the list there. But rather that he had just restricted them and rather encouraged edifying to those in the church. And here are some of the rules that Paul gave to restrict the body of Christ's tongues for more edifying activities. 1 Corinthians 14:27. I see four things here at least. First, if a man speak in an unknown tongue, has to be a man, let it be by two or at the most by three, not 15, not the whole church jumping over pews, or not an orderly voicing of five or four people. Three, let it be by two or at the most three. And then the third thing would be, and that by course. You're first in the course and you're second, one at a time. Not since only the recipient understands it and the rest it's not understandable. That's no reason for you to all say it at once. A fourth thing, let one interpret. So let me just read the verse and you pick them out. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret. So, first of all, the first one, if a man speak in an unknown tongue, several scriptures seem to indicate that God's order of revealing new scripture was to reveal it first to apostles, then second to the body of Christ, prophets, then to the men of the church, then to the women of the church, usually through the men, and then to the younger women and children in the church. So if a woman began to speak in tongues, she would immediately be suspect, since the newly revealed scripture came to the men before it came to the women. Let it be done by two, or at the most by three. Well, that's the second thing we'll consider. That's pretty self-explanatory, though. There must not be a crowd of people all tongue-talking at once, and not even a crowd of people waiting in line to tongue-talk. He said, and that by course, that's the third thing. Even with only three people to tongue talk, then they must wait their turn, by course. And fourthly, let one interpret. All tongue-talking must be interpreted for understandability. Everything said, whether by prophecy, by preaching, by tongues, everything in the meeting needs to be understandable. Why? How else can you be edified? Edifying is not a mysterious, you know, pouring into the top of your head the growth or, you know, the edifying. It's a slow process. There's no shortcuts. All tongue-talking must be interpreted for understandability. Look at the next. We'll go on down through 31, verse 31 here. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. That verse would solve a lot. Let's look at the next five verses, looking for God's guidelines to cause body of Christ prophecies to achieve their purpose of edification. How is the prophecy to be used, prophets to use their gift? Verse 29, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. Now, I take that to mean the same thing as above, not two or three at once, but two or three by course. Let the other judge. In other words, the other prophets. If anything be revealed to another prophet that can speak, that receives these revelations from the Lord as to who to acknowledge or what words of Paul were acknowledged as the words of God. Let me get back to the beginning of verse 30. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. That would solve a lot too. There's another indicator that the spiritual gifts were for the obtaining and documenting of the newly received, newly revealed Word of God, the Scriptures being given at that time. By the way, the word revealed means revealed, not imagined, not thought up, not contrived, revealed. And that was the function of the body of Christ prophets at that time. It was the time of the giving of Paul's epistles in the Bible. Down to verse 31 now. 1 Corinthians 14:31. For talking about the prophets still, you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Those are both parts of what prophecy does, according to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. So, well, notice it says in verse 31 we just read that, let me read this here. You can all prophesy one by one. Yeah, that's part of it. It says, you may. Yeah, I missed that the first time. It says, you may all prophesy one by one. Not you can. And that means that all the body of Christ prophets may prophesy. And again, Paul reminded them that the purpose of prophecy was edifying. That all may learn is the purpose. Verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In this verse here, Paul wrote to remind the believers in his meeting, Paul's meetings, the body of Christ meetings, that the meetings will be controlled, they'll be orderly, because the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Excuse me just a minute. Verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, that fits right in with what's being said here, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. You can see it's like if you go to the tongues there that was going on in Acts 2, and those thousands of people had gathered. It was at the time of Pentecost. It was at the time when any Jew that could, that was close enough, but out of Jerusalem, he was in the foreign land or whatever, he was supposed to return to Jerusalem for that feast and two others in the year. It was crowded there. There were people that spoke other languages all over the place. And so, you know, it was a enlightening thing for them to be speaking in tongues. And, oh, is that what this is about? You know, it would make it known to those people that spoke from other languages. It wouldn't be hiding or confusing people with unknown words until it was no longer needed and it didn't work anymore. First, now, in my message, there are five, I think it's called five types of signs in the Bible. There are signs that are from a different source. Lying wonders, they're called, and various, I forget whether it's the word signs is used or not, but lying wonders is used. So, going on, God is not the author of confusion. And here again, Paul brings one of the truths out, the results of the order of the revelation of these newly inspired scriptures. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted for them to speak. Speak what? Well, the context is the newly revealed word of God and the prophets, body of Christ prophets that acknowledge it. But the women don't, it's going to the men first. The women receive from their husbands what was revealed to Paul. They're not to be, well, here it says, let your women keep silence in the churches. Doesn't mean they can't ask which way to the bathroom or whatever. It just means, you know, not to try and be the revealer of these new scriptures, new revelations that were given to Paul and that were acknowledged by the body of Christ prophets, taught to the men. The men teach it to the women. It's not permitted for the women to speak, but they are to be commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Verse 35, if they will learn anything, so, you know, they're not strangers to the church or to the scriptures. What they're strangers to is anything, these things that are being revealed. If they will learn anything, and those are two words in the way I've got it, not anything, but two words, anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. It's shameful. Not in the sense that she's making noise or that it's in the sense that the order in which the authority of God gave the scriptures of God, coming down to Paul through the body of Christ prophets to the men, to the women, to the younger women then, and from the women to both the younger women and their children, the women's children's, which, as we've said before, that means the women get to teach the next generation. Paul gives some vital details about the prophet's function in the giving of the new scriptures, the newly inspired scriptures that were coming from Christ to Paul. He says in verse 36, what? Came the word of God out from you? And you think you're the source of these scriptures? No. He says, what? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? It's the word of God, not the word of the prophets. The scripture did not originate with the body of Christ prophets. It was revealed to them by God. Not only that, but it did come all right, prophets is plural, and it didn't come to just one person, one prophet, but to several people, a group in the body of Christ called the prophets. If any man think himself, this is verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I, Paul, write unto you are the commandments of God. And you can take that, the way I take it is that God commanded me to write this, write these things. And these Body of Christ prophets here will acknowledge the parts that are from God and not acknowledge the parts that are from me alone. So in the Bible, in plain English, is the job description of the body of Christ prophets. He is to acknowledge that the things Paul wrote were the commandments of the Lord. Not the commandments of what to do, but the commandments of the Lord of what Paul was to write. What goes into those epistles that we have. Preach the word, but don't force it on those who don't want to. If they want to ignore God and his word, don't force it on them. 1 Corinthians 14:38. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And that's not calling him names. It's talking about if anybody hears you talking about God's newly inspired scriptures and he just walks away and ignores it, don't go chasing after him. Let him ignore it. So here's Paul's summary of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. We see it in 14:39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. So at that point, tongues was not yet completely shut down, but he was certainly siding away from it. After three chapters about spiritual gifts and growing in the body of Christ, Paul says, covet to prophesy. He mentions that first. He says, he doesn't say covet earnestly the best gifts here. He says, covet to prophesy. Paul had spent these chapters showing them what had become of the best gift, the gift of edifying by prophecy, prophesying God's newly inspired scriptures. Here again, we see that Paul indicates that by that time that he wrote 1 Corinthians in Acts 19, God had not yet completely shut down tongues, but rather he had just restricted them to encourage edifying those in the church. Let all things be done decently and in order. That's verse 40. Paul is concluding here. His concluding statement is reminding them that he just gave them the order for Paul's meetings. How to, let all things be done decently and in order. That they were to be, well, just like that. In that, the order, I mean, they were to have people that would acknowledge the new scriptures, but it wasn't to be in a unorderly way. They were to be edified. I don't know how to synonym for edify, but we know that prophecy, edifying, is one of the ends, one of the results of prophesying. 1 Corinthians 14:3 tells us that. So prophesying, once the word of God is complete, the prophecy would be restricted to preaching the word of God or telling it, foretelling it, profess the word of God, to teach it. Professing, professor, prophet, all from the same root. Okay, well, that did finish it.